Isn't it beautiful? You know, I am aware that this is the last Sunday of the year, but you know that it's the first Sunday after Christmas? Isn't it beautiful? Let's reframe things. We think of it as the last Sunday of the year, but it's the first Sunday after Christmas. And I love that. I love that you and I can get to do that. And so, being the last Sunday of the year, the title of our message for this week and next week is Hello and Goodbye. You cannot say hello without a goodbye. So there's a letting go, it is a saying goodbye, and so that's what we're going to look at. And as a leadership, we know how important it is for us to say our goodbyes, to say goodbye to the year of 2018. Paul the Apostle actually speaks into it when he says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And I'm so excited about this. Next week, we're going to talk about Hello 2019. And there's so much, there's such an anticipation, such a sense of what God is wanting to do in 2019, such a sense of the magnificence and the generosity of God. This God, and I was in Genesis, just to remind you, this morning, reading Genesis. You know that when God created, he created with the ability to reproduce, with ability for abundance. When seeds fall to the ground, when things die, there's always the potential of new life. That's the God we serve, the prodigal, prodigious, liberal, reckless. And listen, one of my messages I spoke about the inexhaustible God. You cannot exhaust his love for you. That's the God who is waiting for us in 2019. So we're going to be talking about Hello 2019 next week. If you are in town, please come and join us in that service, in 9:30 service. Take note, 9:30 service. If you come early, we'll give you a cup of coffee, so chill about that. But it's about 9:30. You see, as a leadership, we know how important it is for us to actually land the year. How important it is for us to have necessary endings in our life so that you and I can be ready to embrace the new beginnings and the new year. It's important that we land the year and we say our goodbyes. I don't know. I can remember for a long time in my life, I would roll from one year to the next. Anybody like that? You know, you have these very diligent people that will review the year and then they're starting to plan their goals for 2019, what it's going to look like. I just didn't have the krach for that kind of a thing. It's like, okay, let me get through. And so you roll, but we don't want to do that. We want to be very intentional as the people of God where we slow things down so that you and I, and we're going to do this in the service, I've built this into my message this morning, where you and I are going to actually take time to look back on the year, because it's only in hindsight, it's only in reviewing and in reflection that you and I, you know, they say that hindsight is 20/20. Really, it's only when I, at the end of my day, take time to slow down and actually review the day, look back on the day, that I get to see where God was with me. And yet we don't do that. We roll from the one day to the next, and you look back and you think, geez, what's happened to the year? What's happened to the years? And we live our lives like that. And God is calling us to slow down. That's why he instituted the Sabbath. And that's why it's important for us to build that into our everyday life. Listen, if you can't say goodbye to your past, you can't say hello to your future. To say goodbye to 2018, listen, that perhaps didn't turn out quite like you expected and hoped for. And when you look back, perhaps all you can see is a year littered with tough, hard experiences. You see, no matter how well you and I choose, how well we live our lives, things go wrong, because that's life. We live in a broken world and we live with broken people. You can experience failure and disappointment, painful relationships, and even fear, I believe, visited this year. Stephen, am I right? And fear will be there to visit you in 2019. But God said, makes this commitment, and this is what we're going to unpack next week. The Advent promise, I am with you. I'm with you in your past. I'm with you in your present. And I've made that promise that I will be with you in the future. But things like failure have littered the landscape of 2018. When we look back on our past and things we have faced in this past year, and if we are honest, and can I say this, Edge Church? I've said this numerous times on the pulpit, but it's the only way we're going to do life together and our faith journey is with honesty. Because you see, without honesty in our walk with God and without transparency and vulnerability, God cannot do the transforming work in our lives. Because if you're not honest about what's going on inside of you, and if you're not honest about 2018, the Holy Spirit can't transform us. Because you don't know what the heck is going on inside of you without honesty. So we're going to do this service with honesty. Are you good with that? It's the only way we're going to do our walk with Jesus. It's the only way we're going to do our prayers with Jesus. It's the only way we are going to live as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, there are things and areas that we have failed in. And how you wish you could go back to the month of March where you said something, you did something that was just a dismal failure. And we wish we could go and undo it. But the truth is, can I say this and hear me? Because the word of God, that's the past. You and I can't go back and undo the past, but we can take responsibility for where we find ourselves now. We can't go back. And this is what I want to say to you this morning. Don't live with the regrets of the past, because that is where the enemy would love for us to stay. Look how you messed up. You see, I told you you were not going to get it right in 2018. You blew it. And look at this trail of debris and this trail of brokenness and mess and chaos that is there. But we're not going to live with the regret and guilt. And definitely, can I say this, Edge Church? We are not going to carry shame into the new year, because the enemy would love us to carry shame into 2019. And God says that is not what I want for you. I've come to give you life and life to the full. We are not talking about perfection, but we are talking about a life that is simply every day present to God's working in our lives. So there needs to be a letting go and a moving on. Every single one of us need to do the work, the discipline, the practice around saying goodbye. But there have also been moments as we look back on 2018, if we're honest, and if you live long enough, these things are going to land in our world. There have been disappointments. And you know where disappointments come from? It comes from expectations. Do you know that? Gee, I expected them to be like this to me. I expected this to happen. I expected God to answer in that way. And so our disappointments come from expectations. I had high hopes and expectations for my business, for my marriage, that God, you were going to help me sort this thing out. I had high expectations for these people. After all the impositions, I trusted them and they've let me down. And then I think one of the biggest disappointments, if we are honest here, and it's the only way we're going to be this morning, as we say goodbye to 2018, and the only way you can say goodbye to 2018 is by looking back, getting honest, seeing where God has been with you, seeing that even in your failures and in your disappointments, He's the God who is with us. And so I think the biggest one is our disappointment with God. And you say, oh, you can't say that, Bobby. No, no, no. When you've come to God day after day, week after week, month after month with that prayer request, oh God, and He hasn't quite answered, and maybe He still hasn't answered. And I'm going to talk about that, because that's about loss, and I'm going to mention that. He hasn't answered that prayer, that thing you've been trusting Him for and believing Him for. God, did you? You could have intervened after you're the God of the universe. And so we are disappointed with God. And maybe you're in that place where you're saying, I'm so disappointed that actually I struggle to go and be in God's presence because He's let me down. And how do I know that I can trust Him for 2019? And so I think that's a big one. Can I invite you this morning to be honest with God about that? If you're struggling in your relationship because you feel that He's let you down, tell Him that. You can tell Him. He's not going to fall off His throne, I promise you. He invites that honesty. That is what the Psalms and the prophets and Lamentations and Jeremiah is all about, is this absolute raw honesty that God invites from His children. And I think someone needs to hear this morning. And as I was preparing, I was praying, and I was just running through my mind. You need to hear this morning that God is a loving God. He might not have answered or have not answered at all. He might not have answered the way you expected or what you were hoping for. But I want you to hear this. He's a God who is loving, and He's the God who says He'll sit with you in your disappointment. Please hear me. He says, I'll come right into your disappointment. I'll come and sit with you there. I will sit with you there until the light begins to shine and you breathe in some hope again and life again. He says, I will sit with you because he's the God who sits with us in our pain and our suffering. And then let's talk about, as you look back over 2018, and maybe you see this debris of broken relationships and there's been the hurt. Ah. A betrayal. And emotionally, you carry a scar. And mentally, you have struggled to find your equilibrium. God, I don't know how I'm going to get it together here. You've struggled to forgive that experience. Or maybe, yeah, you've hurt someone, and that's, come on. Maybe you've hurt someone. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of somebody's hurt on you. This morning, God says, I'm with you in that. And as a result of that hurt, you've picked up bitterness and offenses and unforgiveness. And God says, oh, we're not taking that into 2019. That we can let go of. You say, Bobby, how do I let go of it? How do I forgive somebody who's hurt me? How do I even reconcile? Well, there's some things maybe we can, that will never be reconciled, but you can deal with the bitterness that's there in your life. And those are the things that God wants us to let go of and say goodbye to in 2018. Then there's the thing of loss. Oh, in the month of December, around Christmas time, there's not been a year that I haven't buried a young person. And I can't help thinking when I meet with the parents, and one was just before Christmas, I had to do a funeral service. And the loss of that child, that 24-year-old with all his dreams and ambitions and desires and his little 3-year-old kid. And around the Christmas tree are the presents and the table arrangements have been made and the guests have been invited, but they're no longer there. How do you deal with that loss? How do you let go of that? Well, we don't let go of it. We might carry some of the trauma and the pain into 2019, but God makes this promise to us, like he made when we deal with disappointment and we deal with bitterness, and that he says, I'll be with you in it. You see, we define loss as when something dies, but I define loss as when there's maybe a change, when a dream has shattered. It could be a loved one. It could be a dream. In fact, we can describe loss, as I said, as change. And we know the grief and the pain that comes with that. But then there's also what I call ambiguous loss. It's a term that was coined by a woman that I was reading her material and listening to, where she says that ambiguous loss, somebody who was diagnosed with cancer, guess what? They're going to carry that with them into 2019. And we are people, we want everything tied up, the bows tied, the T's crossed, the I's dotted. We want everything nicely packaged, but there's some loss that we have to hold that we might not have an answer to. But this is the promise that God makes. He says, you can bring that to me. I'll hold it for you. There's some loss of maybe a family member, an elderly person who has dementia. They're here, but they're not here. How do you hold that kind of loss? And we're looking for answers and we're looking for certitude, and there isn't anything like that but the promise of God that I'm with you and I will be with you. These have been some of our experiences in 2018, and you can add your experiences just to some of the things that I highlighted here this morning. A woman said to me a few days ago, she said, Barbie, I can't wait for 2018 to end. It has been a hard year. And I know for that, for some, 2018 has brought you to your knees. Anybody feel like that? I felt that in the month of December. I thought, God, how am I going to get through this as a family? It felt like I had been brought to my knees because of what we were dealing with. So this morning, I want to speak into how do you and I let go and say goodbye to 2018, this past year? How do we get to say goodbye to our past? How do we let things go? Paul says letting go and moving forward to 2019, because listen, we don't want to hold on to some of these things. And yes, for many, there have been good, positive experiences. I told you, our life is lived on two tracks of joy and sorrow. That's how we live life. It's not just all one thing. And 2018 has been good for many people, but for many, many, many others, it has been a difficult year, and a year that brought you to your knees. Things that you never saw coming. Somebody said to me, please stop preaching messages like that, Barbie. We never saw it coming. I never saw that divorce coming. I never saw that retrenchment coming. I never saw that illness coming. I never saw that betrayal coming, but it came. How do we let go? Say goodbye to 2018 with all that it was, a gift of God to us with pain and sorrow, with joy and delight, and open our hearts for the new thing that God wants to do. Isn't it? I love seasons. Again, back to Genesis. Go read Genesis. It's beautiful. It talks about God's love. It talks about creation. It talks about you when God saw you. He said, oh, it's very good, the original blessing of God on our lives. Talks about that. How do you and I let go of 2018 and open ourselves to the new thing that God wants to do? Now, there was a woman in the Bible who faced these very same things that I've just shared with you. She faced failure, disappointment, hurt, loss. She was a woman who understood what it meant to be marginalized, not quite accepted amongst the together people of her day. We don't know her name, but she's referred to. In fact, it's a very famous account in the Bible that is recorded for us, and she's referred to as the woman at the well. And I couldn't help thinking that it could be today you and I, sitting at the well, considering our lives at the end of 2018. Can I invite you this morning to take a moment at the well of your life? Really, just sit there for a moment in the little bit of time that we have left. Because there's someone who would love to take a moment with you. The story is found in John chapter 4. Jesus was passing actually through Samaria. He had two ways he could go, but he chose specifically to come this way. And he comes to a little village called Sychar. For those who are not aware, this was the Samaritan town where the Samaritans lived. And you've got to understand the history of the Jews and the Samaritan. There was a whole lot of rivalry and bitterness that existed and tension that existed between these two people. Do you know that these were also half-Jewish people, half-breeds? They had a little bit of the Jewish faith. The Samaritan people only subscribed to the first five books of the Bible. And the Jewish people thought, whoa, that's not Jewish enough for us. Whereas the Jewish people subscribed to the entire Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. And so they have been bitter enemies for over 700 years. While they worshiped the same God, the Samaritans, as I said, only subscribed to the five books of the Old Testament as their scriptures. So the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews, and they felt the antagonism and the unacceptance by the Jewish people. And it's into this situation that Jesus arrives at this well, the well of Jacob, in the heat of the day, and he's weary and he's tired. He's been ministering, and so he takes a seat near the well, and the disciples had gone off to go and buy food because they were hungry, and he takes a moment to rest. And while he's resting, he sees a woman make her way to the well where she's going to go and draw some water. And he begins to engage her. And this is actually quite unheard of because rabbis never engaged people of the opposite sex. So when you think about it, Jesus was doing something profound, but he did that. He was very subversive and reckless in the way he lived out his life. Isn't that amazing? Because you must understand there were all kind of barriers that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. There were political barriers, social-economic barriers. There were gender barriers. There were religious barriers, all kind of barriers, the kind of barriers that we face in our own nation. And I think that the world often faces these kind of tensions that are here. But Jesus walks right into it. And so he says to the woman, please give me a drink of water, I'm thirsty. And she's surprised because she knows that he's a rabbi. She knows that he's a Jew. She's surprised that this is a man who would engage her as a woman, as a Samaritan. And so in the engaging, he begins to invite her to share some of her story. And she does that. And so she begins to tell the bitter story of her life. And Jesus is masterful at this. Because by inviting her, it's not to point a finger or to bring judgment or condemnation. He's inviting her because he loves her and he's compassionate towards her. And so she begins to share her story, how she's lived her life, a story that's filled with a sad past, full of disappointments, full of hurts, full of losses. You see, as I was preparing, this is one thing I do know. We all have a story. We all have a past. All of us. There's not one of us who has a perfect past. We all have a past. We've all messed up somewhere. But it's right into this that Jesus says, I want to hear your story. Because what he is actually going to show her, that her story becomes part of his story. A woman who was unaccepted, a woman who was marginalized, a woman who actually had no standing in society. That's why she was coming at that particular time of the day, because all the other women were resting at home, but she couldn't bear the scorn and the shame when people looked upon her because of her life. She was a prostitute. She was a woman who had five husbands, living with a sixth man. And so by inviting her, he's communicating to her, and he communicates to us today, I want to be involved in your life. Your life was never meant to be lived without me. I loved what Augustine said. When God made us, we are restless until our hearts find rest in God. And that's what Christmas reminds us of. He says, I want to be involved in your life. I want to be part of your journey. I want to go through you with your experience. I want you to know that I was always with you in your past, but I'm with you in your present and your future. He's always with us because his name is Emmanuel. God is with us. And then Jesus asks a key question that unlocks this woman's heart. Questions are important, and he was a master at this. He says in verse 16, go and get your husband. Wow. Praise God. Surely you knew that the man she was with wasn't her husband, but it unlocks her heart because it was in that moment she says, here's a man I can trust. Here's a man I can get vulnerable and honest with. Let me read the account in John. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water that he was offering will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring with them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come and get water here. And Jesus says, go and get your husband. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands and you aren't even married to the one you're living with now. Listen, you certainly spoke the truth. Isn't it amazing how Jesus has the way of drawing this honesty out of us? He knew a story like he knows our story, and yet he invites us through the question. He invites us to engage with him around the story, not to judge, not to condemn, but to make the promise that he's the source of our life. He's the creator of our life. You see, this was no ordinary meeting. This, can I say to us on this last Sunday of 2018, this is no ordinary Sunday. I think you've begun to pick some of that up. It's no ordinary Sunday because God is here. God has invited us like he invited that woman. He saw something in her like he sees something in you this morning. And he sees not just her wounds or your brokenness or your failure or your disappointments or your bitterness, whatever it is. He sees someone whom he loves. Hear me, somebody here this morning. Because often we think that's all that we are, is a walking, broken mess of a person. And God says, oh, I see beyond that. I see someone whom I love. And so as he engages her, there's a couple of things that he calls from this woman. Firstly, for her to acknowledge who she is, where she is, acknowledge her story. Because you see, you can't overcome what you don't confront. You can't. So you and I have to engage 2018, the past. We have to pause and engage. What happened? Now, I'm not talking about an unhealthy rumination where you do all this navel gazing. For goodness sake, I'm not talking about that. It is simply that when you go on the exercise, is to notice that God is with you and that he's very glad that you're there, by the way. So you're not doing this in a way to beat yourself up. And so you're miserable person. You will never, ever. No, no, no. He's there to come and guide you and to help you with this. But he wants us to acknowledge. You see, when we don't get honest, God can't do the work of transforming us. because that is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to transform our hearts, our minds, everything about us so that we are like Jesus in a world that desperately is looking for answers. You see, when Jesus asks her to get honest about what's going on, it's not to shame, but to invite honesty. And she had to face up to her past. She had to face up to her life. You see, your past, can I say this, is part of your story. You can't deny it. You can't run from it. I can remember when I was growing up, I would often say, God, I think you put me in the wrong family. Anybody feel that? To anybody? Maybe I'm just a bit weird. And then I'm sure I was born into the wrong family. And I mostly never ever felt my age. I always felt older. Now I'm saying yes for that. But it's like, you can't change your past. You can't. It's all a part of your story. The family God's put you in, the actual mess ups of it. It's all part of your story. And this is the beautiful thing about the story we read. God is redeeming your story. Your story is becoming a part of his story. So we don't want to hide from it. We don't want to pretend. All Jesus wants you to do this morning is to acknowledge it and invite him so that together you and him can face it. And so he begins to put her at ease, like he puts you and I at ease this morning. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to. You don't need to think that he's a God who stands there with eyes of condemnation. He's a God who stands there with eyes of love, compassion, mercy, kindness. He says, come on, we're gonna look back on 2018 together. See, we all have a past. Paul had a past. Moses had a past. Abraham had a past. And Jesus wanted her to confront a past because he was communicating to have a future for you. I have dreams. I have desires for you. And I know you have desires that you have suppressed. You thought it's all over. God says there are new beginnings coming. And then she has to ask Jesus for what she needs. You see, she invites Jesus into a world that was messy and chaotic. Yes, 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 yes. She says, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water. You see, she's thirsty for something that Jacob's well can't give her. She says, give me this water. I want life. I want new life. I want a new beginning. I want a fresh start. Please, God, can 2019 be a fresh start? I'm aware that I messed up. Promises and oaths that I made to you, God, I went back on it. Can give me this water. I want this new life. I want my past forgiven. That is inviting Jesus into your life, into your reality, into your story. And then he says, he promises, woman, believe me. And that's how her next response is. What he is saying, will you put your trust in me? Will you know that I'm the God who loves you and I'm committed to you? Will you know that I'm the God who actually put you together, breathed life into you, and put dreams and desires, future and a plan and a purpose in your life? He says, will you put your confidence in me? I will walk with you through your past. I will walk with you in the present and I'll walk with you and be with you in your future. You see, what Jesus as the Messiah did for this woman, you know the amazing thing he reveals to this woman? He hadn't even revealed it to the disciples yet. He reveals a secret to her that he's the Messiah. How cool is that? When God comes to you and he reveals the secrets, when you take time to be with him, he says, oh, Barbie, there's so much I want to do. There's so much that I want to share with you. But you can come to meet me in my word and in prayer. He says, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who was come to bear your guilt and your shame. I'm the God, the Christ who never sinned. I was absolutely perfect. But in coming, I put on vulnerability. I put on flesh. Isn't that God amazing? He doesn't come with power, flexing his muscles. He comes in weakness, comes as a little baby, puts on flesh like us so that you and I can have right standing with God, so that you and I can bring all of our past, our failures, our hurts, our disappointments to Jesus, who made this promise that he will carry the weight of that. And he did it on the cross because you see, you and I were never ever designed, never created by God to carry the weight of guilt and shame and sin. Never. It was always to be a weight that we were to take off and to put onto him. And he says, I'll carry that for you. He did that. You see, this woman had found what she had been searching for. He canceled the record of the charges against her like he does to us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross. And listen to what Revelation says. It's been coming through our Advent season. The one sitting on the throne says, look, I am making everything new. If you can't say goodbye to your past, you can't say hello to your future. Now, we've built into our time together here in this final service of the year as we land and say goodbye to 2018. A response time. I call it a reflection time. Where we're going to invite God to guide our time of reflection as we think back over the year. And this morning as we do that, I want to encourage you to be honest. I want to encourage you to be vulnerable and to be really open to God who is here right now. Maybe you say, Bobby, I can't see him, I can't feel him. I know that. I know that. But that doesn't go back on the promise that I'm always with you. And he's here with us right now. And this is what I want to say. We don't want to be paralyzed by what 2018 dished up to us. But through honest work of reflecting and inviting God, you know what? He then does the work of transforming us. This is what I want to say. God's grace is sufficient to cover over all the mess, the chaos, the failures, the disappointments, the mess ups of our lives if we would dare to be honest, willing to be changed as we participate in this exercise this morning. So what I want to encourage you to do is to put everything down. Can we do that? If you've got your Bible, your pen, or your cell phone, just put everything down on the floor. Put everything down. If you're holding your partner's hand, just let go of it for a moment. I'll tell you why. Because this is just between you and God. And I want you to, I'm going to guide you through the process. We've built it into the time. We have time here. And I want you just to, be comfortable. Sit back, put your back against the seat, put your feet flat on the floor. Maybe you want to just rest your hands on your knees. That's absolutely fine. And I want you to take a very deep breath. Just breathing through your nose, a deep breath. Maybe you need to take another breath. Come on, let's do that. Breathe in. Hold it for a moment. And then just breathe out. And I want you to hear that God is glad you are here this morning in this reflection time. So just where you are, maybe just close your eyes. I want you to take a moment with eyes closed. Take a moment in gratitude and thank God that he's with you here right now. Just do that quietly. God is glad that you are here, but thank him that he is here with you. And as we look back on the year, in other words, as we review 2018, just where you are, I want you to think for a moment, what were some of the joys and what were some of the moments of sorrow? Just go back. Maybe it was an engagement, a ring on your finger. A promotion at work. The birth of your grandchild. Think back on the moments of sorrow. What were the high points and the low points of 2018? What disappointed or frustrated you this year? And then ask God to show you what you need to say goodbye to from this past year. Maybe it is time to let go of that anger, that unforgiveness. Maybe it is a toxic relationship. Allow God to speak to you right now about the matters of your heart. ask God to show you and reveal to your spiritual state at this moment. Maybe it is an apathy towards Him. Tell God. Then what I want you to do is just to open your hands and then release all to Jesus, the good, the bad, even the ugly. Open your hands, release all that has happened this year. Just let it open it. It's a sign of God. My hands are open. So the things that I'm letting go of. The year is soon to be over. And God, I'm letting go of the anger. I'm letting go of the regret. I'm letting go of the offense. I'm letting go of my fear about what 2019 holds. Let it go. And then with those open hands that's still open to receiving, what do you need from God today, right this moment, to say goodbye to 2018? What do you need from Him? What do you need from God to say goodbye to 2018? Is it courage? Is it grace? God, help me to dare to hope again and believe again. What do you need from God? Tell Him. Every morning, part of my prayer is, God, I need grace to show up in my world. When I get into this pulpit, God, I need grace to preach. What do you need from God today to say goodbye to 2018? And then I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for this moment where we could pause long enough to notice that you were with us in this exercise. To notice that the God who looked at us was the God of compassion and love and mercy. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray. You've heard our prayers. You know what we've asked for. You know what we need to receive to say goodbye to 2018. Will you show your love and kindness and compassion to every single person in this room? Yeah, I don't know everyone here, but you know us. And you invite us into your story. So thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to record, to write out your list. To write out your list. Say, God, this is what I'm letting go of for 2018. And then as you prepare for 2019, write down, God, what am I trusting you for 2019? Write it down. Go and do the exercise. Don't let this moment pass. Do the hard work. It takes practice and discipline and stuff like that to be a follower of Jesus. But I would encourage you to go and do it. Write down what God has done for you in this service this morning.